And another exciting move was Daniel Theiss to Monaco.
Yes.
When Spanoulis calls you, you can't say no to Spanoulis. Hello again, EuroLeague fans, and welcome back. It's been a while. Welcome back to EuroLeague and Friends, our weekly podcast in which we talk about everything you need to know about Turkish Airlines EuroLeague. I'm Shani Blatt, all the way from Tel Aviv, Israel, and I'm also part of the 9 contributors talking about this league and everything you need to know. We love to follow and listen and just see what's happening in the league. We're also around the teams a lot, so we also know about stories happening behind the scenes. So let's kick things off and start with introducing my girls, my co-hosts for this show. We'll start from Milan, Italy, my girl, Giulia. Giulia, come stai? And I want to hear everything about the Italian Finals Cup with Denise Aksoy. How was that?
Ciao, Shani. Ciao, everyone. It was totally so, so cool having one of you with me in Italy. He was so amazing. And actually, I want to have all of you in Italy, or maybe we just have to chat a bit to organize a travel all together. I'll wait for you, girls.
I can't wait. So let's go and jump into introducing my second co-host. It's the amazing Asta Zucaiti. Asta, how are you, girl? How has this break been for you so far?
Yeah, hello, everyone. I think this time I can truly say hi in Lithuanian language. So, labas visiems, labas mano svečiui. I truly, yeah, really miss all of you. And this time, this episode is a special one, special for me, because we have a guest from my country, such a really nice guy. I think one of the most popular basketball players in Lithuania. But after winning Israel Cup, I'm not sure how popular he is in Israel these days. So Shani, you can talk more about that. So, but now, please welcome Rokas Jakubaitis.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Rokas.
Ladies, appreciate you for the invitation. Feeling great, and I hope I won't disturb this nice podcast.
No. You will just add more from your knowledge and from your personality. I want to ask you, Rokas, how has your break been so far?
Oh, I think amazing. It's before the break, we did amazing job, I think, with in the cup with Maccabi. First title after 3-4 years, something like this. So yeah, this was amazing. And then, you know, days off.
Have your family, have your friends already visit you in Tel Aviv, in Israel?
They want to, for sure, because like they heard that Tel Aviv is amazing city. Beach, great weather.
I can agree with that. It is amazing.
Yeah, but now, you know, it's a little bit colder, but yeah. It's like... to compare with Lithuanian weather,
it's summer all along in Israel.
Yeah. But yeah, like as you know, all the EuroLeague fans know that we have like tough schedule this season with the EuroLeague trips and everything. So it's basically, I'm never at home, only on weekends, and it's like tough to visit me. So.
Of course.
They wait, and I'm waiting for EuroLeague season, regular season to finish. And then we can plan a trip to Tel Aviv, to Israel, much easier.
Yeah. And I will be your tour guide if you need anyone. I'll happily show you
I will
more
do that.
Around.
I loved your face, Shani, when he said that Tel Aviv is a beautiful city. I love you, your face. You were like proud mama.
Yes, I am proud.
I love that.
I need to say something good about Tel Aviv in this podcast.
Yes, because Rokas knows if he'll say something bad.
Yes.
No, I'm kidding. But Rokas, you know, I want to start things off because you guys, as you said, won the Israeli Cup. And let's not be modest. You also got the MVP for this Cup Finals. You had a magnificent Cup Finals. And I want to ask you a little bit, like, if you could reflect on your journey so far, being first year with Maccabi, and how has this experience been for you?
Individually, for me, it's like, I don't know, for how much time, for how long. I didn't feel so great, you know, so with so much confidence on the court. And like, I'm feeling now that I'm again enjoying basketball. And this, you know, this side is, I'm feeling amazing. But on the other hand, you know, this season team results not the best. We know why, you know, this season is like different than the others. So we don't have home games. We're flying a lot, basically new team. I don't know how many players changed to compare with the last season. So there is like many things to enjoy, but also like some things tough. But in general, amazing season for myself, and I'm feeling great. And this cup was like I don't know,
A milestone, I would say, for somewhat.
Yeah, for me, and I think for reflecting the season, how it went until February, middle of the February, is like relief, you know, to the whole Maccabi organization and all the players, because I think where we are right now in the standings in EuroLeague, we don't deserve this. Shani, you can tell how it's different to play with the fans in Israel and play without them in Belgrade. So
it's a whole different world, no doubt.
Yeah. So that's why after this cup is I feel so relieved.
For sure. And we can't wait to see what's more coming for you. But we have to talk about, you know, we have so much to talk about in this episode, and we can keep like asking Roka so many questions about his career, but we want you also with us on the topics, playoffs, play-in, also the Final Four in Abu Dhabi, which is a total like surprise for the most of us. I want to ask you, what are you guys most looking forward to? What excites you most when you guys are thinking about ahead for the season?
Things get really intense, but be honest, as a Lithuanian, it's a bit sad because it looks like Žalgiris probably won't make the playoffs this time. So yeah, like Roka said, he's in the same position in Tel Aviv. We say it's the same in Lithuania, but still, I'm so excited to see and watch which eight teams make it through, because I'm pretty sure we will see surprises, no doubt about that. That's the beauty of the EuroLeague. When you think you know what's coming, something crazy happens. I don't know what is crazy for you guys. We're going to discuss about that.
I really hope that the craziest part of it all, Asta, is having one of the Italians, and in particular Milan, going up. It's in the play-in zone. I really hope that it's going to be in the playoffs. And I think this is one of the craziest moves, because if we look back to the season that Milan has at the beginning, it's something that is really weird, really strange. But, you know, if you look at the, if you look at the schedule of the calendar, Monaco, my voice is going away.
You're too excited, gosh. Julia. Don't worry.
Yes, I am. Maybe
one of your talent teams is going to qualify to, like, breathe.
Maybe it's because I'm saying something so good for the Italians that someone from above is telling me, no, don't dream, because you don't have to. But I was saying, Monaco, Fenerbahce, and they're playing here in Milan, then Red Star in Paris. So I think that if Milan can reach four victories, or maybe just two or three, they can really be a loose cannon in this moment. So really looking forward to see what Ettore Messina can bring to the guys, in particular after what they've done or not done in the Italian Cup. So let's just wait.
Yeah. And also other two teams that also Rokas played for both of them. As you said, also Asta Žalgiris and Barcelona. It seems like really everything is super tight right now, especially in the playing. You know, every team can pretty much secure their spot. They can also have a run of wins. You know, you can never know in EuroLeague. Every game matters. But Rokas, I want to ask you, because you played for both clubs and now you're coming off as kind of the expert on EuroLeague, kind of looking from the side. How are you seeing the chances of those two teams in terms of playing?
Honestly, Žalgiris situation now, it's a little bit difficult, I could say, because their last run wasn't the most successful. They had like three games in a row at home, and it was like beatable teams at home for sure, and they only took one win. So I mean, people in Lithuania, Asta knows for sure, they're talking a lot about Žalgiris and like their chances and everything. You know, I'm trying to be on the side just to watch, you know, just to enjoy the basketball. But I don't know, it's like in EuroLeague now, as we know, in this last part, teams getting in the best shape. It's like they don't give you easy, you know, points. So for Žalgiris, remaining schedule, many games away, I don't know. It's I want to see them in playing. I really do, like a Lithuanian, like the ex-player. But we'll see. And of course, about Barcelona, also.
They're in tough situation also. They're meeting
tough situation, yes,
Real.
Yes.
It's going to missing like, many players. Yeah.
And also like this, the cup didn't go right. Well for them. So the confidence level, it's not at the best moment. So we'll see. But I want to see both teams to go through because, you know, for Žalgiris, I know how much it would mean. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for Barca, for the players I know from the inside, for sure, they don't want to be left out of the play-in zone when you play in Barca, you know? Yeah.
Of course. But, you know, Rokas, we also, all of us the girls made Final Four predictions. So we want to bring you on board with us on the table.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And give me your four best teams and you can even say a little bit, like, why do you think?
I have three. So Olympiakos, Fenerbahce, Panathinaikos, because, I mean, doesn't matter how they play in the regular season, ups and downs, but when
everything
it
changes.
Comes to... Yes. I know, like everybody says, like, Ataman magic.
Yeah,
the playoff
we've seen
time,
it happening.
It's like this big confidence that he has, I think, influences everybody.
I agree.
And it's crazy. It's like... And I think, I don't know, I want to put like one team because I'm thinking about Monaco.
Who? You're same as me.
Yeah, but like it would be the most like bold prediction, no? Because like everybody expects this like...
Exactly.
But
if
we could choose...
Give us a surprise.
Yes, totally.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Surprise. I will go with Barcelona.
Ooh.
I will just
look at him being
just,
faithful to his former club.
Because I'm not talking basketball wise, just like from the fan point of view. I don't know. For me, Monaco, Cervena, Bayern, and Paris. I mean, they are good teams. Don't get me wrong, but
no, of course. But
I don't know. For me, Barca is like
this is your
just,
prediction,
yeah,
and that's
yeah.
what we have. All right, let's move on because again, we have so much to talk about, and one of the most exciting and kind of you know on the spot things that are happening right now is the show Court of Gold. I'm sure you guys all watched it, and if not, go watch it now because it's insane. It's talking about the Paris Olympics and how you know there's increasing mentions of the EuroLeague by NBA stars. Such as Giannis and Kevin Durant. And he even hinted in one of his, I don't know, interviews that he might come play for Monaco or Barcelona. That could be really exciting. You know, Giannis watches a lot of basketball. Jokic even texted Nedovic after they won the Serbian Derby. Things that are happening. EuroLeague is happening. And I want to ask you all, I mean, just as a general question, what do you think stands out in EuroLeague basketball that is making it so fascinating to follow and to watch?
I'm a documentary fan.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a huge fan of documentary. But I'm going to start with another thing. Like, I grew up watching Michael Jordan on a very small black and white TV. Maybe you all grew up, but I'm older than you.
Still doesn't know what's black and white.
Exactly.
No chance.
He's too young.
No chance.
But in Lithuania, you can hear people saying that the NBA is just about the show, is just a circus. And like EuroLeague is a real basketball. So I disagree. I don't think we need to compare those two leagues. I live in Europe. My friends like Rokas Jokubaitis is playing in EuroLeague. I'm watching EuroLeague a lot and I'm represent myself, Lithuania, on this amazing EuroLeague podcast. So when I hear guys like Giannis, like Kevin Durant talking about the EuroLeague, I think it's awesome. It shows how much respect European basketball is gaining, and that respect is growing. It's a fact, and it's so, so cool.
It's so cool. Rokas, how cool would that be, like having Kevin Durant as your teammate?
Imagine that. You would be giving him lobs every day, you know?
To have like Kevin Durant, or doesn't matter which superstar, I think I would be like in a dream, you know? You're watching like how he's doing and how he's doing so perfectly, everything.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, maybe one day will happen, but it's like, it's still a dream. Maybe it can happen.
You know what else is cool that is coming up? Actually, the EuroLeague is doing something new. Nigel Hayes-Davis being mic'd up. Okay, so the EuroLeague decided to kind of mic'd up players. Oh. And Nigel Hayes-Davis, you played with him in Žalgiris and in Barcelona. What do you think of it, of him being mic'd up and of generally players in the EuroLeague being mic'd up?
It's a great, great idea. And for sure, I will watch it because, you know, I played with Nigel a few years. And he's a good friend of mine, and I love him as a person. And I mean, how he's playing now, I think that he can do whatever he wants, you know, with this mic'd up, and he will still score 25 or 30.
Are you worried about the things that you could say if you were mic'd up?
I did once, like with the national team, but it was like for the warm up and like for first and second quarter, something like this, because I lost the microphone during the game in the warm-up. I forgot everything. I started to singing, talking, you know, in Lithuanian. And I mean, after that, when I lost the microphone, I was thinking that, you know, of course, they will delete bad parts or take it out. But I think, you know, when I'm too focused to the game, when I'm in the game, I forget everything what I say, or like curse words, and imagine like my mom, my grandmother will see it, and no, better not.
But this is exactly what we want to hear, you know, Rokas. We want you
if you want to hear Rokas Jokubaitis curse compilation, okay, we can do it.
So guys, we're moving into like the crucial time of the year. The signing deadline of EuroLeague is coming up before this round of 27. We've seen some moves, and one of them is Daniel Theis to Monaco, also Jimmy Clark to Maccabi. Rokas, I want to ask you, first of all, how do you feel about this late transfer of Jimmy Clark to Maccabi? What's kind of your first impressions of him?
I mean, it was like surprising.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the whole season we changed a lot of players. Many players didn't fit in, the injuries or something. Or like we see, for example, Wayne and Gabriel,
right,
how he's playing in Panathinaikos. It's like in basketball, sometimes it's like this, you know, one coach, this time fits you and other coach don't. And now Jimmy Clark, I saw him in Herzliya in a domestic league of Israel.
Yeah.
And I mean, he played amazing against us and the whole season. So it's good move by Maccabi to sign mm-hmm. him for this season and until 26-27. Young player. And I think Maccabi in the past also like were signing young American players, you know, because Israeli league is good fit for them, and you know, for EuroLeague, you know, with this confidence they can bring it in EuroLeague. So it's good signing prospects, and I hope he will give us
what you need.
Yeah, what we need to build up from this cup until June middle.
Some power in the backcourt, no doubt.
Yes.
And another exciting move was, let's talk about it, Daniel Theis to Monaco.
Yes.
From what I heard and read and, you know, talked to people, it was Spanoulis who kind of, you know, decided, was the deciding factor after talking to him over the phone. when Spanoulis calls you, you can't say no to Spanoulis. What did you girls think about this move, Asta?
Daniel Theis is a very, very smart guy. I heard that. Like, he's a very intelligent, so coaches love him. And he will have a huge impact to this team, not only on the court with his experience, but also off the court. Of course, they will, like, Monaco will be a very big contenders for not only Final Four. I can think now they can be a very big contenders for the title. And Thais already said, Thais said that I came here to win the EuroLeague. And yes. Back to his personality, he has a very strong voice in the locker room, so he can lift up the team culture. Monaco already had this guy, it's Donatas Motiejūnas, so now they're going to have two guys. Like, he's a veteran, he's an amazing guy. And one thing, it will be very interesting to compare him with Serge Ibaka. Why? Because I think this is a very similar situation, similar story. And I want to believe that Thais will help Monaco more than Ibaka helped Real Madrid.
I love that analysis. No, it's a great analysis.
I can say more things. Like, for example, I'm thinking about Monaco. If I need to pick one team with the most exciting moves this season, mm-hmm. Monaco will be my number one. You know, not
definitely.
Only Thais, Spanoulis, Kalatis. So this team, yeah, looks amazing. By the way, it's as exciting as that picture with Thais on the top of the hill with all of the Monaco on the background. I can't remember the last time I was impressed with the picture so much. It was like, wow. You saw
yes,
that
they're
video,
praising
that
you.
Interview? Crazy, yeah.
Rokas, what do you, are you familiar? You're probably familiar with Daniel Thais. What do you think about this move for Monaco?
I mean, I'm familiar with him from the national teams. And I don't know, it's like I don't follow as much NBA as I follow EuroLeague, European basketball, so I never saw him play like how he played in NBA, but it was enough for me to watch him in the summertime with the national team, because what he did with the national team and this like duo with Schröder. You know, these alley-oops, the defense, the energy he gave to the team. I mean, he was like one of the main like puzzle to, you know, to winning World Cup. World Cup. And I mean, now this Germany team, in the past years, they are back to the glory of the Europe, world, whatever you say. And he's the one of the main guys to bring the Germany back to the where they belonged. So amazing signing. I think he will fit in Spanoulis' systems. He knows how to play, and he can play in both positions, 5 and 4. So it will be interesting.
I really love the way that it all happened, because we're not used to have a coach calling a guy, telling him, come here to play because we can win something together. And I think that this is the key and the future, not even for basketball, because if we look to other sports like football, like soccer and Premier League in particular, they're not coaches, they're managers. And I think that Spanoulis is paving the way to this new role. It's not just coaching someone, but it's like building a team.
I agree.
Being a team director. That's the point to me.
More than just Spanoulis, the coach, more.
And Spanoulis is the smartest, one of the smartest guy, one of the smartest player, one of the smartest coach, in my opinion. And I really like the way that he started to pave the way like that, to be, as I said, a manager, not just a coach. What do you think?
I think you're completely right. You're absolutely right. Because Spanoulis, you see here, he's more than just a coach. He's a friend. He's, like you said, he's a manager. He's still a player in his veins. You know, you see him kind of always taking the ball during practices, shooting around, doing some drills. Mm-hmm. You know, he still lives the game so much. And it's really easy, I feel like, for players to relate to him, other than him being a coach. And I'm sure that Rokas, if Spanoulis called him to come to Monaco, he would also say yes. So...
And I would think, I would think.
You would think about it.
I would say, let me think for a few days. Nah, joking. It's like, I see in Spanulis a lot similarities with the Lithuanian coach, Šaras. I think, you know, they were very similar in a level as a players, as a point guards. And now how fast Šaras integrated from assistant coach to EuroLeague coach. And Spanulis, mm-hmm. he went from Peristeri to Monaco and to the Greek national team. So I think that is not very usual. It's usual when basketball player goes to coaching after, mm-hmm. but not at that level like Šaras.
Not climbing as fast as Spanulis, right?
Yes. So it means that, you know, it's working. Their methods mm-hmm. Is working. How it worked to win titles as a players, that how it should, you know, be as a coach. So Šaras still is searching for his first title in EuroLeague, but I think it's coming soon. And Spanulis also, he's in the organization with such a talented players, and they have everything, you know, to win it, but like to win it in upcoming years.
Who do you think who's gonna be first with EuroLeague title, Šaras or Spanulis?
Rokas.
Ooh, that's a great question.
Šaras is listening to our podcast. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Warning. I have this feeling. I have this feeling. Yeah. No, but I mean, I honestly want for him to Šaras to win the title. I mean, the first or not first, I really don't care, but just to win it, because like he would complete everything, I guess. So I know how much it means to him. So let's hope that Šaras will win it first.
Let's see.
I answer your
question. You're crossing his fingers for him. So guys, so some players were added to teams, and also some players left teams. We're talking about obviously Lonnie Walker parting ways with Žalgiris. Asta, what's your take on that, and how do you see this move kind of in terms of shaping the team's direction towards kind of the end of the season, I would say?
Lonnie Walker leaving Žalgiris was a big shock at first, but everything changed in just a few hours. We heard he was staying, and then 2 hours before the deadline, he was gone. And let's be real, when a player says, thank God, after leaving, you know, he really wanted out. Like, he saw the situations, no playoffs, no play-in, and his role wasn't that he hoped for. And, you know, the crazy part, like, he's actually making less money in the NBA than he would have in Kaunas. But yeah, like, you know, nobody in Lithuania is too sad about this. Let's be real. Yeah, Rokas knows about that. Now is the time Žalgiris can reset. Many experts talking about Francisco or Giedraitis. Rokas, the one said Rokas
Giedraitis. He's in Maccabi, Asta. He's no longer in Žalgiris.
I know. So, but I think it's a big chance. It's a second chance for Ignas Brazdeikis, the second opportunity for him to shine. So we will see, but, nobody's too sad.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, you know, best it's going to be a key moment for Žalgiris to see how they, you know, move forward from that. Obviously, as you guys mentioned, they don't have many chances of qualifying to the play-ins. But again, we've seen also that run, if you guys probably remember in 2019, I think it was Žalgiris who had like an insane run of wins. But I don't know. I don't know if it's going to happen again. I mean, from what it's kind of, you know, unimaginable, but we can always expect surprises. So Lonnie Walker leaving Žalgiris, that's it. Time to move on. And I want to also move on to another exciting topic, the MVP of this month's EuroLeague games. I mean, we have the candidates Obviously, Sasha Vezenkov is still on board. I mean, how can you not? And we have Slukas, who's been showing great basketball recently, really leveling up his game. Tyreek Jones from Partizan and also Kendrick Nunn.
I want to ask you all, who do you guys kind of, you know, picking like your MVP? Who do you feel like is going to win this one in this month? Julia?
Yeah. For me, it's Kostas Slukas. I think that he really deserves that. Thank you. I love the way that he's playing, the way that he played in his last month. And I think that just 1 point that he scored against Baskonia changed a bit. I cannot say the season, but I think that it changed a bit these last few games that he played. He played amazingly even when Panathinaikos lost games. And I think that this is something that a leader should do in the good and in the bad times. It's like a wedding promises. So I think that he should win this monthly award.
Yeah, he's bringing his best in the most important time, no doubt.
Yes.
Asta, what do you think? Who's going to take this one?
Oh, this one, this time I'm going to agree, girls, with you. But mm-hmm. like, as you remember, I talked so much about Vezenkov. So I was with him, I am with him, and I will be with him no matter what. Like,
forever.
He's MVP of all the season. But like this month, yeah.
Vezenkov, Sasha, if you're watching this, Asta is all hearts for you all the time.
Yes, but I remember us at the beginning that you were always saying that Vezenkov really deserves the award of the season. But and I agree with that. I was on the other side. I was the one that was cheering up for Kendrick Nunn. And I still think that he will do something more than we can expect in this moment. But obviously, if we look at what he's done until that moment, obviously, Sasha Vezenkov is the first one, the first pick, obviously, for the MVP award at the end of the season. But if we just have to look to this January, February month.
No, yeah, February.
February month is going to be, yeah, in my opinion. I know that you love it, but I'm thankful to you. If you agree with me, it's going to be Kostas Slukas.
I mean, what I think, like, which team like finishes, the team that finishes with 3-0 in this month is probably one of the guys from there will be taking the MVP award. Rokas, what do you kind of thinking about the MVP for this month? You're like,
I love Slukas. Yeah, yeah. But we're not winning. Like, maybe I would, but you said like 2-3-0 this month. 3-0 Maccabi this year. No, it's
it's a tough one.
But we're gonna... Yeah, yeah. But I love Slukas. He is like mm-hmm. one of the players to watch, to learn from in EuroLeague, you know, lefty creator. He's like many years in the league and he's still putting on the show. It's crazy.
It's fascinating.
I love to watch him, the confidence and everything, like how he's many years so consistent. So this part is just to shout out to Slukas. But I mean, how Vezenkov is playing, it's magical, different.
Yeah, he's magical.
I mean, like, with one dribble, with two dribbles to like do,
everyone's always talking about his dribbles. That's crazy.
Yeah, but it's like crazy. And now, right. I mean, it's not EuroLeague, but he played one game for the national team. You know, it's, you can say, okay, in Olympiacos, he has many great players around him. They know the system, Bartsoka system, but he's mm-hmm. also with the national team players. Yeah, like 40 points, 40 points, 18 rebounds, and
it's 300 like, PIR.
Yes, yes. It's just crazy. So, I mean, he deserves it. I mean, Vezenkov, Slukas, it's, I don't know who, but my first take is Vezenkov.
Great. So the battle is me, Julia, with Slukas, and Asta and Rokas are going with Vezenko for this month's MVP. We'll see how it comes along. But guys, a really exciting game coming up is El Clasico, and Rokas, obviously you're well known with one of the teams. Both teams, guys, need this win. Okay, this is a huge one for both of them. And also Rokas, as you said before, they're both coming after not winning the cup. It's basically kind of hurting their confidence. Barcelona is missing many players. K
Kevin Punter, Vesely is out, and I don't know if Brizuela is out. He might, I don't know, I'm not sure. How do you see this game coming along? Let's not forget that Madrid already beat Barcelona in the previous round. What do you think is going to happen in this one, Rocas?
Yeah, I mean, the injury thing is the biggest issue, I think, for Barca at the moment. Because as I know, like players like Vesely, especially Vesely, he knows how to play these big games against Madrid, El Clasico. It's the thing is, in Spain, you play El Clasico 6, 7 times, 8 in the season. So the players know each other. Yeah, yeah. And I think in these games, I don't know, like the talent level is similar. The players know each other. But the thing with the injuries now in Barca and they play in Madrid,
it's going to be
really
a tough one.
I don't want to say that, you know, Barca has less chances, but now as it stands now, without Vesely, without Punter, will be very tough to Barca. And I don't know, Madrid also. I think this loss in the final against Malaga in Copa because, you know, as we know, Madrid is the club who is not used to lose. So in El Clasico will be tough for Barca for sure. And, you know, but I don't want to say that winner will be Madrid. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say it. But, I'm just saying that the Barca like favors are not in a Barca side this time.
I agree, but you know, this kind of game has a life of its own. Girls, do you think differently from Rocas, or
no.
Do you agree with him?
I agree.
I agree. I just want to add that, you know, El Clasico games deserve attention because they never disappoint. And you know what you're going to get? Always very high-quality basketball, intense battles, like drama, emotions. And if you are especially a neutral fan, it's a perfect game to watch because you know exactly what you're going to get. It's a perfect product for every single EuroLeague fan.
I agree. It's going to be super exciting.
And also, apart from that game, we also have Julia's team, Milan, who is meeting Monaco. That's going to be Messina versus Panulis, two legends meeting head to head. And also Paris is meeting Bayern. Virtus is against Olympiacos. Asvel is meeting Pau Panathinaikos. And, you know, we're just seeing big games everywhere. Maccabi.
And Maccabi Fenerbahce? No.
And yes, of course. That was my next. It's a big, it's a huge game. And you're also meeting many exes of Maccabi. Yes. Over there, not all of them are playing, but you're meeting them. That's going to be also fun to watch. Rocas, girls, this is the end of our episode. It's unbelievable to say. First of all, I had so much fun. Rocas, how did you feel in this episode? Tell us a little bit.
Amazing. I liked it.
Yay!
I like the company, and you know,
of course,
talk
you're
about
surrounded
basketball.
By girls. How can
yes,
you love
yes,
the
that's
company?
Why. Yeah. Yeah, but I loved it. I'm really thankful for the invitation, and maybe it's not the last time.
Ooh. Hopefully. Thank you so much for sharing everything, your stories. And fans, don't forget the rivalry game of round 27 is again El Clásico. Madrid is against FC Barcelona. Make sure to watch this game and all other amazing 8 games on EuroLeague TV. And don't forget to like and subscribe so you don't miss any of our show, and follow EuroLeague on all social media platforms for more information of the show and the competition. And also don't forget, we're all in on all audio platforms. So you can listen to EuroLeague and Friends everywhere. So post some comments on YouTube. Always keep an eye on them. Girls, Rocas, thank you so much. I had a wonderful time with you. And we'll see you guys, fans, next week. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.